Didn't know what I was going to speak about tonight, but it goes perfectly with the message. I love when the Holy Spirit does that. And it was so inspiring to hear all of your testimonies, because they weren't just words you were picking out of the air. They're experiences you've had during this pandemic and beyond, that God has been faithful and he does keep his promises. Hallelujah. And he never did say we'd always see roses, right? Well, Lord, I just thank you for the service thus far. We feel something in the spirit here tonight, Lord, a comfort, an encouragement, a joy, Lord, a hope and an expectation. So, Lord, we leave this year, God, and we leave it behind, Lord. We thank you for being faithful. We thank you for what you've taught us. We thank you for being through, bringing us through. And now we ask you, Lord, that you would prepare us, Lord, for what is about to come in 2021. Oh, I got a quote. I got a saying. Prepare us for what is to become in 2021. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. You know, sometimes you try to think of a little pithy saying at the beginning of the year, and nothing would come till I stood right here. The name of this message is Prepared by God. And I want to give you a little background first. The majority of this little devotional, I'm not going to give a full-blown message, but I really do believe this is from God tonight. It goes to 1 Kings 18 first, but I'm going to concentrate on 1 Kings 19. So when you go home, I encourage you to read it, because with the understanding we're going to have tonight, to go back and read it and let the Lord bring revelation to your heart. But in 1 Kings 18, we learn of that tremendous showdown on Mount Carmel. We learn where the prophets of Baal were standing there, and they were getting all arrayed, and Elijah said, you know, the one true God is going to answer by fire. And all of these prophets by Baal, who were supported by the king and queen, by the queen especially, they were, you know, religious wards of the state, right? And they were there, and they were, you know, cutting themselves and screaming and praying for Baal to send fire. But guess what? Baal couldn't do it. But then Elijah steps up and he said that God was going to answer. And the one that would answer by fire was the one we should serve. And in 1 Kings 18, we learn that Elijah was a praying man, and he prayed. And he said, Lord, consume this sacrifice. Now, one little caveat here that I forgot to mention is after he came up on the altar, he asked that three different torrential dumpings of water be put on the sacrifice, in the trenches, in the wood, and on the sacrifice all around. And if anything, now it was 10 times harder for fire to come. But as Elijah prayed, we know that story of what happened. Fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, and the people was saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They fell on their faces and said it. And Elijah was so empowered by what happened, he knew that those prophets of Baal had to be purged. So they were killed. And the next little while later, Ahab, the wicked king, tells Jezebel about what happened. And you would think that Jezebel started shaking, but instead she was angry as could be, because this prophet had dared to put her prophets of Baal to death. And she sent word to Elijah. He said, you are dead meat. That's New York terminology. Hi, New York. You're gone. I'm going to kill you. What you did to my prophets, you had no right to do it, and I'm going to kill you. And all of a sudden, we see this mighty man of God who had just called down fire from heaven, who stood up to Baal and the whole nation, who stood up to kings and queens, all of a sudden he lost it. He started to shake. He was terrified. He started to run. Now, I was reading a lot about it. I was telling my husband, I like to look into the background of things. If Jezebel was really going to kill Elijah, she would have had him. But it was the threat, the terror, the fear that she put into Elijah and threatened because she wanted to shame him after what he did to Baal. She threatened him, and instead of standing up like he did on Mount Carmel, he ran, and he hid under a broom tree. This is feeding back a little. I don't know. Can you hear it? Maybe it's the monitors. I don't know. Elijah became terrified. You know, after the triumph sometimes in life, listen, after some of our greatest moments, the enemy will try to come with despair and defeat. Elijah might have thought that this confrontation with the prophets of Baal would get the whole nation to turn away from Baal and serve God. But instead, now his own life is being threatened. Such disappointment. I imagine he had utter exhaustion. I imagine he didn't go to Carmel, you know, without fasting, without prayer, without all the things that go into preparation for a battle like that. And now he's depleted. He's utterly exhausted. He had no strength or no courage left to stand against this enraged queen. He went into the desert, and he lied under a broom tree. And here's what he prayed. Oh God, let me die. The same prophet whose mighty prayers saw a great victory on Carmel now is asking to die. Okay, can we picture this? We read it. But can you picture this mighty man that confronts all of these, the nation, the evil, and now he's terrified of one queen who made a threat. But you see in James 5, 17 to 18, it says, Elijah was a man of like passions with us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth the fruit. So what is it saying? Elijah was a human being. I know when my husband was going through a trial once, you know, we have been through a spiritual battle that only God knew, and we have a very close friend who's a doctor. And we couldn't understand why it was so affecting us physically in so many ways. And he said, David, you know, you're not supernatural. We are not God. We are just his vessels. He empowers us, but we are subject sometimes to depletion, to exhaustion, to discouragement, to despair, as we heard even in that song. He wanted to die. One commentary said, it's a good thing that his prayers weren't answered that time. As a matter of fact, Elijah was one of the very few people who never saw death. He was carried up in a chariot. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer all of your prayers? Right? But this message is called God Prepared. And first, God prepared refreshment for Elijah. He had an angel deliver baked cakes and water, and he let him rest and get replenished. It's very important that when we go through these battles in life, that we do use wisdom. And we do take care of ourselves. And we do replenish our spirits. We do replenish our bodies. I thank God that he's a God of compassion, that he knew that Elijah needed this nourishment, the food and the water. And he sends an angel. Boy, that was great. But I want to tell you that God's goal was not to have an Eli bed and breakfast. It was not God's goal to keep Elijah there. It was not his goal for the rest of his life to see him under a broom tree and start a bed and breakfast. The angel said to eat because the journey is long. You see, there was a journey coming after the refreshment, after the regrouping of his strength. Elijah was going to go on a 40-day journey. So remember that. When God sends replenishment and when he sends times of refreshing, that we just can't stay there. We got to move on and do what God tells us to do. And so he moved on and he went on the journey. And you know where he went? To Mount Horeb. And Mount Horeb is a very, very sacred place for those people. It's where God met with Moses. It's where the children of Israel met with God. And that's the journey that Elijah was going on. The angel said to him, you know, this is not for here. This is not your final destination. You're going to be going on a journey. And he knew where to go. Friend, when we're discouraged, when we're defeated, when we're feeling depression, when we're feeling exhaustion, go into the presence of God, like we sang tonight too. God has a meeting prepared for you. God has a place prepared for you. Go back to those testimonies, those things that God has done in your life. Sometimes it's important to remember where you came from, what God did. If he did it before, he could do it again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go into the presence of God. Don't stay under the broom tree. Yes, God will give us those times of refreshing. God will give us those times where he meets our physical needs. But it's to prepare us for the journey, to go into his presence, to find strength to meet with him. And God had destined and prepared a special time for Elijah to meet with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God prepared refreshment, but then he prepared a meeting with Elijah. Mount Horeb was very, very significant. It was the deepest despair of his life and the lowest point. And he went to Mount Horeb because he wanted to get back to the place where God spoke to his people. Wow, what significance. If you are in despair, go to the place, create an altar. Remember those things that God has brought you from. Go, take a prayer drive. Go to that place where you were when you were on the street and no one gave a dime for your life and God intervened and brought you out of drugs and brought you out of alcohol, brought you out of things, a sinful life that had no meaning. And God spoke to you and he gave you a new life. Go to those places that have significance. Don't just have a pity party. Don't just go to people who will just pat you on the back and say, oh, if I were you, I'd want to die too. They're out there. It sounds like sympathy, but in essence, they're saying, why bother? Why try again? Why go forward? Your life is miserable. But no, God has an appointment with you. Take that journey and go. God allowed Elijah to vent. He allowed him to speak to him. And he said, oh God, you know, I'm the only one left. I've tried to keep your name. And look now, Jezebel, she's trying to kill me. God allowed him. You think God didn't know all this? But sometimes we need to get gut level honest, friends. Sometimes we live a lie. Sometimes we live in pretense where we come and we're on top of the mountain, but inside, God, where are you? But I tell you, don't go venting to everyone else. Vent to God and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why I'm in this situation. I've tried to keep your name, but here I am, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. And when he went to Horeb, he went to a cave. And look what God says to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied in 1 Kings 19:10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And God said to him, go out and stand on the mountain. The presence of the Lord is about to pass by. God knew that depressed and despondent Elijah needed a personal encounter with God. I'm so grateful in my life that I've had those encounters. I'm so grateful that I've had those epiphanies, that when I really came to an end of myself and got in the presence of God, when I just stopped feeling sorry for myself and felt alone, but felt pushed myself into the presence of God, was honest that he was always there to meet me. He has never failed me. The situation might not have changed immediately, but in the presence of God, we change. We change in the presence of God. And somehow, as Pastor spoke about a few weeks ago, that hope of God comes in our life. And we don't just see doom and despair. We know that we have a mighty God. He's done it before, and he'll do it again. He keeps his promises, Matthew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when Elijah went out, God wasn't in the wind, the earthquake, or the fire. God wasn't in the dramatic manifestations. But then there was a gentle whisper. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah goes through the same woes. I'm alone. They want to kill me. I'm the only one. But the third thing God prepared, the first one was refreshment. The second one was an encounter in his presence. But the third one is God prepared a destiny and a future for Elijah. God was not finished with him. Hallelujah. Verse 15 and 16 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. Now listen, when you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram and anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And listen to this, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as a prophet. God wasn't done. Elijah wanted to die. Elijah felt like he had seen his greatest victories. Elijah felt like there was nothing left for him. Now he was going to be in exile. But God said, no, 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 no. You have other kings to anoint. And you have a servant that's going to come up and be a great man of God. You have a prophet, Elijah, that I want you to mentor, that I want you to teach, that I want you to show the way, that I want you to encourage. I love this because God gives us a destiny. God gives us a future. He wasn't done with Elijah. Yes, he let him be refreshed. Yes, he gave him a personal presence of himself, but then he gave him a purpose and a plan. Hallelujah! I'm so excited about this. You know, my mom used to say, God wanted us to do something. My mom used to say to me, you know, sometimes I remember as a youngster, a teenager, going through depression. And I remember I would go to my mom. She was such a strong woman of God. I would go to her, and I would pray with her, and I would feel so much better. I would feel great. But then I would go through something else would bother me, and it was like all of the water dripped out of the bottom of the bucket had a hole. I go back to her. Mom, I'm fighting this, and I'm so discouraged. I'm so depressed. Okay, honey, let's pray. The presence of God would come, and I would feel so much better. But lo and behold, something else would pop up. I would go back to her, and those of you who know my mom, my David, she had this little finger, and she pointed at you, and it was kind of like an anointed finger. When it came at you, be careful. And she would say, now, Angela, go and do something for the God. What? I'm discouraged. I'm depressed. Go now and do something for God. Your life is not over. Stop looking at yourself so much. Stop looking at the difficulties. Stop looking at the battle. Stop looking at what's happened in the past and you think you've seen your greatest victories. The Lord says, no. No, the greatest things are yet before you. God has a purpose. God has a plan. God has a future for you. I was very excited about this devotional because no one would have known a year ago tonight what we would face in 2020. Only God knew. Who could have emptied stadiums? Who could have stopped traffic worldwide? Who could have stopped movies and industry and meeting with families and shutting churches down? No one would have ever dreamed that a little virus, a little bug could have done that. In the midst of it, though, we've seen God provide for us. We've seen God's refreshment. I remember those first few weeks when we were home, how we missed you. But we had the presence of God that would come in our home, and we would televise from our home, and we felt literally carried by God. I know you did too. God refreshed us. His presence came. He prepared a dwelling place for us. He refreshed us with food and rest. I never was home so much in my life. Can many of you say that? Never home so much. Never spent so much time with my husband. You see, in the midst of it, God knew we would need that to face what we face this year. So he did refresh us and bless us and feed us. He did prepare those moments. I could tell you during this pandemic that God has spoken prophetically many times that gave us the courage to keep going and would speak very specifically when to open church up again, what to do this, and the council and many of you were involved with this with us. He met with us. But I want to say, Elijah knew where to go when he was discouraged and depressed. This pandemic, I've done research, has caused a lot of depression, even in children. This has caused a lot of isolation. Like Elijah said, I'm alone. But the truth is, the best is yet before you. The truth is, God has prepared a purpose and a plan for your life that no coronavirus, no devil in hell, no political unrest, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against his church. God's purpose for your life did not depend on whether or not you get the vaccine or not. Now, I'm not saying to be frivolous or foolish. Pastor and I are very cautious. But what I'm saying is we need to reevaluate like Elijah. If we're sitting under some tree just bemoaning our fate or worried about the future or hiding in a cave, waiting for God to obliterate the whole pandemic. I love what you sang tonight, Matthew, because you said that God didn't promise. He didn't promise that we'd never go through stuff. But what he said is that we would be more than conquerors. And what he said, that nothing will separate us from his love, and that the plans and purposes of God stand firm forever. Nothing shall thwart the purposes of God. Nothing shall thwart the purposes of God. So come out of the cave. Come out of your hiding. Come out of your depression. And know that God still has a purpose and a plan for your life and my life. You know, church may look different. Pastor and I have been talking about it. And we've been talking with some of you and other pastors. I don't know. I don't know what church will look like. But I do know it will be victorious in Christ. I do know we will see the greatest harvest we've ever seen in history. I'm really speaking under an anointing right now. I do know that we are going to see many people come to Jesus Christ. We may have to be ready for it, friends. Come out of the cave. I'm not saying you have to do this or that, but if you're just hiding and just afraid, the Lord's voice is coming to you tonight. Yes, we may not see all of a sudden the whole pandemic be isolated and obliterated, but God will find a way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Elijah didn't die. He was translated. Plus, he had a mentoree ready to take his place. Hallelujah. He anointed other kings. God has plans and purposes for your life, for my life. Nothing can thwart them. I love these scriptures. I want to share them with you. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, I latch on to that tonight, Lord. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him. God doesn't forget. He keeps his promises. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Daniel 11:32, but the people who know their God will firmly resist the enemy and will do great things. This is not the end. Don't allow the enemy to keep us in depression. Listen, we're human. We go through things too. But the Lord is saying tonight, trust me. Take my hand. Take my promises. Get into my presence. Find fulfillment in me. And know that I've got work for you to do. I've got work for you to do. This is not the end. It's only the beginning. Hallelujah. Pastor Dave, hallelujah.
Praise the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithful speaking tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. There's a word in season for those who are weary. This was a word in season tonight. Let's stand together. For those of us who have been through, we've all been through a lot this year. Thank God there's a word in season. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. A word in season. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's a mission that lies before you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And nothing can thwart the purpose of God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, let's worship him. Hallelujah, Let's claim the promise right now. Claim the promise that God gave you. Hallelujah. Claim the promise that God gave you. God has not forgotten. Hallelujah. God has not forgotten to be faithful. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. 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 We praise You, Father. We praise You, Lord. We praise You, God. We praise You, Lord. Shake off that discouragement right now in Jesus' name. Get a hold of the vision of God. Get a hold of that purpose for which God got a hold of you. As Paul the Apostle said, he said, none of these things matter. The only things that matter is that I get a hold of that promise, that purpose for which God got a hold of my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the calling of God, the ministry and the calling and the purpose of God is without repentance. Hallelujah. That means God doesn't change His mind. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. He doesn't change His mind. Let's go back to in the presence of Jehovah for a minute, brother. Hallelujah. I want us to sing that before we have communion tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Of peace.
Prince of peace.
Troubles vanish.
Troubles vanish.
Hearts are mended.
Hearts are mended.
In the in His presence for a moment.
In the presence of Jehovah,
God Almighty,
God Almighty,
Prince of Peace,
Prince of Peace.
He wants to comfort you tonight. Anxieties, all my cares, I bring to the mercy seat and I leave them there. There's never a burden He cannot care. There's never a friend like Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. I think that this is the word the Lord wants us to bring into 2021. The mission of God stands firm. God's mission for your life is the most exciting thing that you could focus on. Don't focus on the past. Don't focus on the world and the flesh and the circumstances and the fears and anxieties. God says, focus on the purpose for which I have called you. Focus on the mission that lies before you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For the calling of God is without repentance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has not forgotten you. He's got work to do. Somebody say, He's got work to do. We've got work to do. Somebody raise a hand. We've got work to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. We're going to sing it again, but let's be seated for a moment, and we're going to receive communion together. Thank You, Father God. Thank You, Father God. I'm going to ask Pastor Angela to join me here. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. If You would take your cups right now. Amen. And peel off the first layer here and take the wafer. Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's think for a moment about what this means to us tonight. And God wanted you to be so sure that you would be part of His family, so sure that He would never leave you or forsake you, that He literally sealed the covenant with His broken body and His precious blood. He made a covenant, a promise to you. Somebody say a promise, signed and sealed in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. How much more could He show His love? Hallelujah. How much more could He show His love? He wrote His love letter to you, somebody said, in crimson red. Hallelujah. On Calvary's cross, He shed His blood, and He wrote His love letter to you in His own blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel like tonight we need to renew this promise to God, our promise to follow Him, our promise to obey Him, our promise to steer away from sin, have nothing to do with sin, have nothing to do with rebellion, nothing to do with angry words, foolishness, sinful behavior. Separate yourself from these things, somebody. Receive that right now. Hallelujah. Separate yourself from things that draw you back to the past and live for the future that God has provided for you. Hallelujah. On the night when our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread after giving thanks. He broke it and He said, "Take and eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." Let us take the emblem of His body right now and receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was just lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. After the same fashion, He took the cup after giving thanks. And He said, "This cup is My blood, represents My blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins." I want Pastor Angela to pray for us tonight as we receive the cup.
Hallelujah. Somehow that old song that says, take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first believe You. And I believe that there are people watching on Facebook. I believe there are people right in this auditorium that need to visit Mount Horeb and need to go to that place where the presence of God was manifested to His people. Where was it that you first felt His presence? So I pray in Jesus' name, Lord. It's not because we want to stay there, Lord, but it's because we need to be, oh God, in Your presence and to remember what it was like, Lord, when You opened our eyes and we saw You as King and Lord, when we realized that Your blood was shed for us, Lord. So we just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as we take this cup tonight, Lord, I pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that depression would go in Jesus' name. I pray that people who have felt like they've been hiding in caves waiting for a big manifestation and waiting, that they would be attuned to the small voice of Jesus saying, "I'm not finished with you yet. I have great things for you to do for My kingdom's sake. I want you to find purpose in your life. Follow Me. Follow Me. Hallelujah. As we drink this cup, Lord, we remember that. And we say, Lord, personally, I want to say, Lord, I want to follow you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen in this world, but I know you keep your promises, and I know you will make us fruitful. We take this cup in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's stand together. Lift your hands to heaven and Savior Jesus Christ, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even imagine, according to his great power that is at work within us. That power is the same power that he used in raising Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I've got resurrection power in me. I've got resurrection power. That means I'm not dead. Hallelujah. I'm alive tonight. I'm alive tonight. I'm alive in God. Hallelujah. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations. And all God's people said amen. I want you to sing praise God as we go tonight. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Mighty hand of praise. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you. Happy New Year. Give somebody a fist bump or a wave or something. Amen. Happy New Year. God bless you.
Praise God.
We'll see you Sunday. May it be the best year ever. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.